World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I gotta be honest with you. Well, I always try to be honest with you. I don't even know how I got doing what I'm doing. I'm a football coach. I coach girls basketball too. I took a girls team 1984. I coached the girls basketball team to the Final Four in the state of Ohio. I was a baseball coach. I coached baseball at Kenyon College for, I don't know, a couple of years. I was a high school baseball. I'm a coach. Well, how the heck did I ever get here? And I was thinking something came across my desk yesterday. Like, oh, my goodness, my goodness. My little trip down memory lane, if you just bear with me here a second. 20 years ago. They murdered Terry Schiavo. Anybody remember that? Where we were 20 years ago? And I'm trying to flash back in my own mind. 20 years ago would have been, what, 2005. I'd been doing Coach Dave Live. I wasn't really broadcasting then. I'd left teaching and coaching. I wasn't floundering, but my wife was working, and then I went back. I'll write a book about how. Are you guys looking at me? Because there are some people out there say, I want to start my own podcast. And that's good. And please go ahead and do it. But I want you to know something. If you think that you can get in this seat without some sacrifice, I just want you to know that ain't going to happen, baby. I got some scars along the way. I took some risks. Thank God for a great, great loving wife. I said, honey, I can't do that anymore. I'm called into ministry. And my wife went back to work, and she was a breadwinner. As I tried to launch Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt Ministries, I didn't even know what it was. And I remember that I came home one day, 20 years ago now. Now I know it, 20 years ago. We started Pass the Salt Ministries, and really I would say I left teaching and coaching first time for year 2000. And then I went back and did a little bit of special education teaching for a few. I had to feed my family. I was just a nobody, even though I'm still just a nobody. And I came home one day and I saw this on the news. I'm going to play it here in a second. And my mom was still alive then. And I was, I don't know, I came, I just ran into, I stopped by the house, and when I was telling her about that, they were starving this handicapped woman to death down in Florida, and going on and on about it. And my mom said, my late mom said, oh, well, honey, I think you need to be there, which I felt it too. I didn't have a job. I didn't have nothing. And mom says, you go make your reservation. I'm flying you to Florida. And she did. I got arrested down there. Scariest thing probably ever happened to me in my life. 20 years ago today, they were murdering. The government was murdering a handicapped woman. Would the church stand up against it? I'm going to show you a real quick little video here. I want you to see this, Spencer. It's which one is it, man? You got, that's, Yeah. Okay. Look, we're going to play about 4 minutes of this. And look, I'm going to show up at about the 4 minute mark. Just a real quick little clip. They put the camera in my mouth, and I was arrested down here for trying to take water to a starving woman. By the way, Jeb Bush, all the great Republicans, they were all behind the starving. Nobody stood up. Nobody spoke up. Hell, you can kill an unborn baby in a womb. Why can't you build, huh? Why can't you kill a useless leader, a young girl? Why can't you do that? Why can't you? By the way, they starved her to death. You know that, right? They starved Terri Schiavo to death. They didn't give her a shot. They starved her to death. Jeff, you got your hand up. I sense you want to say something. Go ahead.
Coach, I just want to say, I remember that. You know, maybe that's why all the pastors fear you. You went down there, you and Pastor Bill got arrested for crossing the line. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's crazy. That's crazy. And ever since, I'm glad I went down there, and I was glad I did get arrested because I got over the fear of being arrested. It was, by the way, the only time I ever was. I want to play about 5 minutes of this. Just so you guys can, again, get a flavor for what was going on and listen to how confused, still today, ask ourselves this question. Is there a right to die? Do you have a right to die? And does somebody else get to make that decision for you? And why is it that we don't scream and holler more about the protection of the least amongst us? We kill the unborn babies. We kill the old and infirm. Let's just watch this about 5 minutes. I just pulled this off the internet. This was a news report of what was going on 20 years ago today. And a lot of you don't even remember it. And then I'll come up at about the 4 minute and 10 minute mark. Just real, real brief. Go ahead.
In the debate over a sick patient's right to die, there has rarely, if ever, been a case like the one in Florida.
It said October 13th. You know why I said that? Because it took him a long time to starve her to death. Go ahead.
In 2003, America watched as a private family struggle became a very public feud.
Terri Schiavo's husband and her parents in Florida have been fighting for a long time about whether her feeding tube should be disconnected.
And a personal battle eventually sparked a political firestorm.
I'm asking you, is she being murdered?
An extraordinary session here on Capitol Hill.
Tonight, this Congress is about to commit a travesty.
Today, we're still grappling with end-of-life issues. But will scientific advancements help to clarify them or only make them more complicated?
Some patients who appear to be entirely vegetative are actually quite the opposite.
Terri Schiavo's case started long before the cameras appeared. It was February of 1990 when the 26-year-old suffered a cardiac arrest.
She went several minutes without oxygen from her collapse and experienced a profound brain injury. The first couple days, doctors didn't know if she was going to live or die.
Lack of oxygen left Schiavo with severe brain damage and in what doctors call a persistent vegetative state, or PVS, a condition in which the parts of the brain that control thinking and awareness are damaged or destroyed. Only the brainstem, which controls basic reflexes like breathing, remains. Initially, Terri's husband and parents cared for her together, exploring potential treatments and rehabilitation. But 4 years after her collapse, Michael Schiavo says doctors gave him a grim prognosis.
It was to a point where Terri wasn't going to function. There was nothing more, and they told us, her mother was sitting right there at the time. There was nothing more they can do for Terri.
In 1998, Michael Schiavo petitioned to have his wife's feeding tube removed, saying she had told him and others she wouldn't want to live in this condition. Her parents, Bob and Mary Schindler, fought desperately to keep her alive, insisting that removing her feeding tube would be tantamount to murder.
People think Terri was in a coma, she was brain dead, that she was terminal. Terri was not dying. Terri had a profound brain injury, and our family wanted to care for her just the way she was.
With no living will expressing her wishes, it was up to the state courts to decide Terry's fate.
they went to court more than anybody has ever gone to court in my experience in fighting about an end-of-life care case.
This was probably the most litigated case that I can think of. We were up and down the federal court system, the state court system, many, many times.
At least 19 judges heard the case through various appeals, and the decisions were all ultimately in Michael Schiavo's favor, going back to the original court ruling that said that there was clear and convincing evidence that Terry would not want to be kept alive and that her feeding tube should be removed.
She told me what she wanted, and the courts heard it over and over and over again.
For Terry's parents, the legal decisions were devastating. They appealed to the media and the public.
Please, please, please save my little girl.
They became a cause. They got picked up by talk radio. They had religious groups weighing in on their behalf.
Spare this innocent child.
It was a fear across the board of euthanasia, assisted suicide, abortion, and abandonment of the disabled, if you will. That's what a lot of the motives were that drove those who rallied to the side of Terry's parents.
Okay, get ready. Here I come for about...
To deliberately starve her to death is an act of cruelty, and ultimately it's murder itself.
Terry touched a nerve with so many people because they saw a family that was willing and wanting to care for her. They didn't understand why they weren't being allowed to do that.
On both sides...
Let Terry live!
Emotions ran high.
No one would want to live this way.
20 times in court. 20 times.
This is the Roe versus Wade of euthanasia.
I used to say, what are these people doing? Why Terry? People's feeding tubes are removed every day. To this day, I don't know why. But it was
very surreal.
Okay, stop
it. Put it in the chat if you want to watch the rest of it. 20 years ago, I asked myself the question. I just put it in here today. The question to myself. All those who hate me love death. Scripture says that. Did you know that? All those who hate me love death. Now, this is a great dilemma that we're faced in life, end of life issues. It's really, really, really sensitive stuff. I get both sides of it. I see both sides of it. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And just ask yourself this, is America focused on death? And what is, dare I say it, the antidote to that? Life. Life. And here we are 20 years later. Not only did they starve a handicapped woman to death, she was alive. They did, folks, they didn't pull a plug on her. They starved her to death. They stopped feeding her. Value of life. What's the value of life? 20 years ago, huh? So I put down here, bring up number two. I don't know if I had this in the yesterday. I don't know if I read it or not yesterday. Well, I spoke about this when I had a chance to speak on last Saturday night. This is what I spoke about. And this is you guys. I'm talking to you guys out there. His watchmen are blind. Time out a minute. Who are his watchmen? Well, we could say, Coach, it's the pastors. It's the pastor. The pastors are the watchmen. Yeah, but Craig Mickle's a watchman. Randy Lunsford's a watchman. They're trying to destroy Paul Gosselin because he's a watchman. What is it we do when we see injustice going on and the ones who are supposed to be doing something about it aren't doing anything about it? What are we supposed to do? His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. Boy, you could use that word a couple different ways, right? Dumb, meaning stupid, or dumb, and meaning the inability to bark. They can't bark. Who can? His watchmen. Why? They're sleeping. They're lying down. Anybody got an old dog? Anybody got an old dog? Just he's barked his days out, just laying over in the corner. You love him to death, pet him, feed him, everything, but he's just waiting to die. So we got dumb dogs and we have greedy dogs. We have dumb dogs and we have greedy dogs. And the greedy dogs can never have enough. The shepherds, they don't even get it. They don't even get it. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his own gain. What am I going to get out of this? Should I go to Planned Parenthood and stand up for those unborn babies? What am I going to get out of it? What's in this thing? The people in my church are going to get mad at me. They're going to rise up against me. There may be some women in my church. Maybe they've had abortions, and I don't want to peel that, pick that scabs, right? Huh? Come on. Hey, Spence, do this real quickly. Go to the Message Bible. Same one. What does the Message Bible say? A call to the savage beasts. Come on the run. Come, devour you beast barbarians. Why? Because the men in the church are blind. A whole lot of them. They ain't got no idea what's going on. Hey, Vinny, give me a boom on that, will you? Huh? The average Christian person has no idea what's going on. I'm waiting, Vinny, out there. Somebody boom me. That's all right.
Boom.
They're dogs without enough sense to bark. Lazy dogs, dreaming in the sun. Oh, but they're hungry dogs. They sure know how to eat.
Delicious
dogs with never enough. And these are the church's shepherds. Are you kidding me? They know nothing. They understand nothing. They all look after themselves, grabbing whatever's not nailed down. Come, they say, let's have a party. Let's go out and get drunk. And oh, tomorrow is going to be better. Oh, just live it up. Best life now. Name it, Clint, folks. It's good, isn't it? Okay, hang on. I'm going somewhere. Pull up Planned Parenthood. Next Wednesday. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to be at Planned Parenthood. Anybody in the Columbus, Ohio area that'd like to go, would love for you to be there. Mark Harrington and the crew. Do you have any idea how many babies we murdered? Any idea? Do you understand that Terry Schiavo debate is about the right to life? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So defund Planned Parenthood. Join us to protest Planned Parenthood April 2nd. The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in the case of Kerr versus Planned Parenthood, South Atlantic, which will decide whether individual states have the right to defund Planned Parenthood. Do you believe that? Do you believe they're trying to figure out whether or not we... Government money to murder babies? The government's paying for it. We're paying to murder babies. And we have to go to the courts to determine whether or not. So I'm going to be there. Michelle and I are going to be there from 9 to 10 o'clock tomorrow. 3255 East Main Street, Columbus, Ohio, 43213. We're going to be there 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We invite anybody out there to join us. Hey, friends. All those who hate me. Thank you. My wife just told me. What did I say? It's 9 to 10. Whatever I said, it's 9 to 10. Ying and Yang, she's always helping me out. 9 to 10 tomorrow. Maybe we'll go out to breakfast afterwards. Right? Maybe. I don't know. Love to see you all there. And God bless Mark Harrington and Created Equal. That dude, Mark Harrington, has been on the front lines of the preborn. I'm telling you, man. Paul Goslin, come on in here, man. Hey, Paul, listen. Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
I don't give a damn what they say about you. I got great respect for you, brother. I want you to know that.
I appreciate it, Coach. Huh? But
because you're swimming upstream, aren't you, Paul?
Yeah, but I have a lot of hope. I think things are changing.
Paul, wouldn't it be easier just to capitulate? And say, yes, sir. Yes, massa. And just do what they tell you to do. To just
it's not in my line. Nature. It's not in my nature, Coach. Well,
that's because why? Because you're not blind, are you? You're a watchman and you're not blind.
So maybe this more, is of, wrong. This maybe is wrong. More of a kinsman than anything. But anyway, I've said it was from the beginning, it's a death cult. I mean, I just posted Scott Shira's you know, show on there. But I mean, they made it legal in medicine, right?
They made it legal.
It's a death cult. Now, people don't get this, but it's true. It's the number one killer of humanity is medicine. When you consider, you know, baby killing, baby murder. It's not only that it's the third leading cause of death in this country, when you look at what happens in the hospitals and so forth, it is the number one. I mean, we're talking billions of babies since 1973. And we're not getting out of this hellhole that we're going to live in unless we get rid of this, Coach.
Amen.
And I live in Maine. It's horrible here. We have a largest population of elderly people of any other state. And all she wants to do is kill the babies. I mean, this woman is evil.
Hey, Paul, dare I say it? With the silent, afraid to bark complicity of the local church.
Absolutely, Coach.
We can even get 50% of the Americans to say no to murdering babies. So, hey, folks, how can America survive? If there is a God and God is just, how can we expect him to, God bless America, when we're killing millions of, can I say this? Mark Harrington would tell you, I ought to have Mark on here. I will get Mark on here. Thank you. I heard that, Holy Spirit. You know, Paul, do you know that more of them are being killed now through chemicals? They're taking pills rather than abortions.
60% of abortions are given by that day after pill, which, by the way, they have to take numerous times.
It's a horrible thing. Flushing a little baby down the toilet. Let me stop right now. Because there are people who are listening right now who don't want to hear this because they've had abortions.
Yeah, no.
I get it. I understand. Listen, folks, it's under the blood. But I want to ask you something. If you backed over, almost happened to me. If you backed over one of your grandchildren, or you backed over a person in a car and you killed them, would you be for everybody backing over cars and killing children? Would that be our answer? Or would you say, oh my God, that was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I can't even sleep. When I think about it, I can't even sleep. Well, folks, why would we allow that to happen to somebody else? Why would we talk about women's rights? Why would anybody sentence a woman to that guilt for the rest of her life? And hey, maybe some of them don't have guilt. Why? Because all those who hate me love death. But can I tell you the truth? The people sitting in the church won't even stand up against abortion. And then where does it lead? Where does it lead? Abortion and euthanasia. What's next, huh? Hey, how about this, Paul? How about this? If I get locked in a nursing home someday, God forbid, I get locked in a nursing home and it's costing my family, or watching the inheritance, our house. We have to put our house in this receivership because I'm paying $1,000 a month to lay over in some Alzheimer's unit. And wouldn't it be really easy for one of my children to come along and say, hey, you know what? I remember once when Dad said he wouldn't want to live like that. How hard would that be, huh? How hard would that be? And isn't it amazing that the church won't stand up for preborn and nearly dead people? Is that unbelievable? Is that unbelievable? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And among those rights are life, the right to be born and the right to natural death.
Amen.
Man, oh man. Hey, pull up real quick. I'm going to open it up here. Look, folks, look. If you've had an abortion, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. I know it's hard. Got to be hard to forget it. Forgive yourself. Got to be. I get it. That's what grace is all about. That's what mercy is all about. And rather than sitting at home or laying on the bed at night, or if somebody reminds you of it, being feeling guilty about it, just receive forgiveness. You did murder a baby. You did murder a human being. To the grace of God, the death of Christ on the cross washes that sin clean. But why would you let it happen to anybody else? Why would you let it be like a drug dealer letting somebody else, a drug dealer getting cleaned up, and then letting other people take drugs right in front of him. What would you do that? It'd be like an alcoholic who goes into an AA meeting and takes beer with him. Why would you do that? There's a Michelle, I should have got her. I'll get Harrington on. Surrender the secret. Huh? Surrender it. Surrender it to the Lord. And if you had an abortion, testify. Do something about it so it never happens to anyone else. So we put now, huh? We now put abortion on the ballot. At what point are they going to put murder on the ballot? Pro-choice, you're pro-choice. Your wife's pro-choice, she wants to live, but you're pro-choice, you want her dead. Because if she's dead, then you get all the inheritance yourself. And you don't have to be around that old hag. You can go get yourself a nice young one that's not fat and ugly. Come on! Folks, I'm speaking to the church. I'm not speaking to the politicians. We know what we're going to get from the politicians. How is this all happening? Where is the voice of the church? Okay, hang on. I'm going to play. Where is it? I'm sorry, I'm all over the place here today. I can't believe I can't find it. It's right in front. Speak up. Okay, number four. I'm sorry. Number four. There it is.
Let me know what you think.
You know, Donald Trump's not as pro-life as me. I say, well, has your pastor spoke out regularly against the slaughter of the unborn? Well, no, my pastor doesn't do politics. Oh, so you want Donald Trump to speak out on holy matters when the person you tithe and offer to that you call your home church won't even whisper about it. Got it.
Man. That's good.
Let's remind each other what church is. Church is not a place where you go to be affirmed. Church is a place where you go to be saved and corrected. It is not a place to be told about how your lifestyle is the greatest thing ever. You go there to be reminded that you need a savior and that your life is currently in error. But people don't like that. They say, well, that's not very nice if I tell the people that come to church in that way. Well, hold on a second. What exactly are you running here? Is it a church, which is about correction and elevating the divine? Or is it a place where a TED talk occurs with organized parking, above average coffee, and a motivational speech, and good music with nice lights? What exactly are you running there? You see, a church, in its proper context, as Andrew has done a great job throughout his career, and what a great example, by the way, for other pastors to follow, a church should be unafraid to go against the culture and not conform to the world, but preach the word.
Hey, watch this.
Okay, so hang on. I'm going to open it up here. Huh? Are you looking at me? You better understand this. COVID was a financial decision. Do you have any idea how many people were killed who paid into Social Security and never were able to collect a dime of it? What became of all their Social Security money? The Social Security system is broke. So what do? Well, you get rid of what Margaret Sanger called useless eaters. At what point do I become one of those? At what point do you become one of those? And God help us, from what point, when did little unborn children become useless eaters? All those who hate me love death. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. One of the seeds is for life, one of the seeds is for death. And the church can't figure out which one to support. Why? Because their daughter is 16, pregnant, and she wants to go to Harvard. So the pastor isn't going to say anything about it. Might ruin her life. Come on in, Lauren.
Good morning. Can I just pray for those folks, please?
were on this call who, whether you're male or female, sure, have either participated in abortion or you're post-abortive.
Or drove somebody to have one.
You're exactly.
What they would call an accessory to a crime.
Right. Or, you know, or maybe there's a doctor, or there's a nurse, you know, there's a counselor. There's, you know, they're all accessories to the murder of a child.
Amen.
You know, and it's a felony before God, you know, but God, right?
Hang on, Lauren. So they tell us that we can go to the ballot box and vote for murdering children. We can go vote for it, right? What kind of government permits people to vote to murder an innocent human being?
Well, all these people who've put these laws in place, they're all accessories to murder.
That's right. Hang on.
It's that simple. And it's the drug companies who are producing, you know, the methotrexate. That's high doses of methotrexate that are in the morning after pill. And these kids are popping them, not realizing what it's going to do to their body and the future of their children.
In the courts of Almighty God, they will be found guilty. Go ahead, Lorianne. Go ahead and pray.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. There's a sound. I save this, a wretch like me. Your amazing grace is just so abundant. Father God, we come to you into the courts of heaven, praising you this morning, this team, this sweaty football team that's really tired, whether they're the special teams or they're just the water person. They're the quarterback, the coach, support staff. This team's sweaty. And we're free because of you, Jesus. Because you set us free. I am a chief sinner. I am one of those women who whose child died at the hands of abortion. Because laws were put in place and nurses and doctors counted the body parts of my child. But I'm not the only one who's here that's listening right now. And Lord God, I'm asking you that your love baptize every single person. That Holy Spirit love would encounter and comfort and bring hope to the hopeless, because we are a nation whose hope is deferred. Mother Teresa said before Bill Clinton in the nation, that a nation that kills their children has no future. Satan is trying to wipe out your nation, God. And Father, we come into your courts singing your praise and thanksgiving because we can. Because you've forgiven us, because you sent your son on a cross to forgive us of these horrific sins. So Lord God, you are the change. We're not okay, but we know it's going to be okay because of you and that Holy Spirit water that's going to baptize us so that we can be anointed and appointed to open up our mouths for those appointed to die. But Father God, to those who are listening, whether you're a mom whose child died in your womb or you're a father who participated in it and said it was okay, it's your choice when it was your child. We have a nation that of sons and daughters, Father, who don't feel protected and don't feel safe, and men don't know how to protect their daughters and their wives. Raise up men to teach other men, and generations aren't going to continue to believe the lie that they have no hope to save their children, protect the woman they got pregnant, and take responsibility for being a dad and being a husband. So Lord God, those doctors that are listening and those nurses and the counselors, Lord God, or the grandma or the mom that drove their daughter or their friend to the abortion clinic and assisted in the murder of a child, Lord God, have mercy on them. And may they ask you to be forgiven. May you forgive them. And the revenge on this, on the enemy, is going to be your grace and love and the testimony of how they overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony that you forgave them and you're using them to silence the enemy. And that is your revenge. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing healing, removing the trauma from these things that women have endured, and believe the lies that you will take off the band-aids off of everyone's eyes, give them ears to hear, eyes to see, and a voice that speaks up for those appointed to die. They're not all Dr. Kevorkian. And Lord God, may your pulpit rise up. Lord God, your voice from the church that you've anointed and appointed the men and women with hearts that are known by you to speak up for those who are weak, who are diagnosed with autism or Down syndrome, or they can't eat, or they're in a car wreck and don't have a voice, who have CP, that fear is not the answer, love is, and it's your love. Satan, you have been put on notice. Your walls are being torn down. Every stronghold that you have risen up against the Almighty God, you know you're done. You've been put on notice to go to the feet of Jesus, all of your minions, and those kids who are appointed to die today, that there will be intervention so that those children will not die today in any hospital. I live in one of the most disgusting child-killing states in the nation, and Lord God, that there will be babies saved today, because your hand is not too short to save. And wherever else across the nation and across the world, they have an appointment with death, but now they have an appointment with life. Every mom, every dad, every social worker, every nurse, every janitor will be used for your glory alone to save lives. Thank you, Jesus, for saving mine. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that you took what I deserved. It is in your beautiful name and the precious name of you, Jesus, that we come to you. We know this is a big amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, friends, here's a question. I'm going to move on here. Abortion's under the blood. Abortion is under the blood. But the Bible tells us this. For me to know to do good and not to do it, to me it's sin. So I know they're murdering those little babies, by the way, with my tax dollars. And I just, la, 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 la. Nobody talks about it. Genocide, bloodshed follows bloodshed. I just read in Hosea chapter 4, verse 2. Yeah, I don't know if you know this or not. Donald Trump wants to stop the federal funding of abortion. And as we've spoken about here several times, the Luciferian left has stacked the judiciary with God-hating leftists. And they just fight. They keep doing what they call lawfare. They keep block. Do you really believe that some circuit judge in New Jersey can override the will of the President of the United States? What? By the way, your Republican representative's awfully quiet, isn't he? Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, we'll tie these couple things together here. Yesterday, here's a good example. Yesterday, I'm sitting here this morning, and I got Craig's shirt on. You are the watchman. And on the back says, Saving God's Children.
That's right.
So yesterday, and this will all tie together, whether it's abortion or whether it's our kids in our schools. If they do make it out of the womb, they're destroying them in their teenage years in the schools, or young children.
Yep.
So yesterday,
yep.
I'm going through McDonald's. The girl couldn't add up 3 times 6. I said, young lady, that's 18. She laughed. She said, oh, I'm not good at counting. I said, that's the public schools have done that to you. They've destroyed you and taught you about the LGBTQ and wokeness and DEI. She said, oh, she got mad. She was hot. She's against the schools doing this. She was agreeing with me. She started railing. And then another young boy was in there, come up talking about going to the library. These are 17-year-old kids. I said, young man, you go to that library today, don't let them bring that drag queen in there. Oh, he said, no way, sir. These kids are irate. So I told them both. I said, you have any problems with the schools? I'm right over here at this car lot. You come see me. They're like, thank you. We will. So in between the abortion and these kids, another couple was in my office yesterday buying a car, 18 years old. The girl's pregnant. They're not married. He wasn't really too excited about marrying her, but I got to talk to him about that and having a baby, and it was a great day. So now tonight in the garage, we're having David Arthur come in and speak on what they're doing to these kids. You know, it's going to be, it's just been the last 24 hours has been amazing, but
it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the deepest part of the ocean than mislead one of these little ones who believe in me.
So I told Greg Mickle, I'm going to get involved with his Saving God's Children, because you can tie everything into that. Amen. That is just a great ministry.
So, Craig, I have that up here, something to pull up here in a second. So hang on with me. Angie, come on in.
Good morning. You know, there are so many avenues to go because we've talked about, you know, euthanasia versus abortion. And again, it's another symptom of a very sick society. But from the abortion aspect of it, and, you know, I was a neonatal nurse for 25 years at bedside. I was a pediatric nursing leader for, you know, almost 20 years. But one of the things I think we miss, abortion centers are merely responses to the sickness in our society. And that sickness is sex outside of marriage, because 90% of these people, these women that are going in and having abortions, are having abortions because they're not married, they're young, they've been encouraged when they were in their teens to start having sex because sex is fun. It's the normal animal thing that you do. We're grooming children in society through our media, through entertainment industries, and through our schools, and even at home, because parents model this behavior. We have 70% of black family children are growing up in fatherless things. These are single moms that are continuing to have sex outside of marriage. And nobody wants to have that dang conversation. Nobody wants to say, stop having sex outside of marriage.
So, Angie, answer this for me, Angie.
Yeah.
How can a church have people sitting in the pews who are pro-abortion? How can that possibly happen, Angie?
Because they're pro-sex. Okay. They can do it because they're pro-sex. I mean, listen, I've been to churches where the associate pastor, or maybe even the pastor, have had affairs outside of their marriage, and they're still leading a church. You tell me why that's happening. Because that should not, listen, you don't put a thief in charge of your church treasury, okay? You don't put a pedophile in charge of your children's ministry, okay? You don't put somebody who commits adultery or steals from your church in any sort of leadership fashion of your church. And that is continuing to happen. And they all want to throw David into it. Listen, your pastor does not have the heart of David, or he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. And I just get so sick and tired of it. But we have got to get to the root cause of this, which is the proliferate epidemic sex outside of marriage that continues to happen. They're teaching our children. Heck, adults are teaching their children. Well, they're letting them watch this stuff.
We don't even want to. We're having a hard time doing away with the Department of Education, which is where all of this stuff is coming from. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Huh? Oh, yes.
David Arthur, come on in, Dave.
Hey, good morning. So tonight is not just going to be like a night for testimony or stroking egos or appeasing the cowards, right? We're going to talk about the homosexual agenda. We're going to talk about the homosexual manifesto, the overhauling of straight America, how this trans, queer, LGBTQIA cult, and how it's gained the footing, how it's gained the legal protections that it has, how it also... It takes part in sex trafficking and child sterilization, medicalization, and mutilation. And we're also going to touch on some of the methods of ministering to the victims of this cult. But know this, I am at that the end of that road. I've come to the conclusion that I am no longer here to wake the sleeping who are comfortable in their slumber, right? I am here to expose this cult and to help arm those that are on the front lines that are ready to stand up, speak out, and push back, because that's all we're supposed to do at this point.
Because so, David, let me ask you this. What's the greatest option? Like, what would be the greatest reason you think that pastors would not want you to speak to their congregations regarding grooming, homosexual beast, all that? What do you think, Dave?
You know, I just had this conversation yesterday with a couple brethren. Coach, they will have some ex-gays come into their congregation and speak, because these ex-gays are saying things like, and if you have the attraction, it's not a sin. It's only a sin if you act on that attraction. Well, no, I'm here to tell you that it's one, a cult. That's one thing they don't like. They don't like you calling offending those victims and calling them a cult, right? Well, it is a cult. And because I was a victim of the cult, I'm going to call it a cult. And I don't care. See, we're not here to, it's not about offending them, right? We're supposed to be defending them by standing up and speaking out.
It's even worse than that. I want to move on here, man. Listen, folks, if I hear it one more time, the homosexual community. Hey, David, where would I find that? Where is the homosexual community?
There is no community.
What part of town that's in?
It is not a community. It's a cult.
What about the Christian community? Is there a Christian community out there? Huh? Is there a Christian community? No. There's a homosexual community. There's a transgender community. Where's the Christian community? That's what Coach
Amen. Says. Boom.
Okay, hang on. Well, what number... Number six. What number six? I'm kind of all over the place. I only got 13 minutes left. Let me get this out of here. Have you guys seen this? Huh? Have you seen this? All the lies about what Elon's doing. He's going to take away your Social Security, yada, yada. Put this at 1.5 speed. This is going to be about 6 minutes. Here's the truth. And folks, the only reason I'm showing this now is because you need to share it. Okay, you need to share it. Go ahead.
Tell us what you Antonio's helping out with the Social Security. So just trying to review Social Security, where you may have heard that we found 20 million dead people marked as alive in the Social Security database. This is so crazy. And then you'll notice there's a strange trend here, where how many Social Security numbers were issued. Do you want to?
Yeah. So let me.
Is this 1.5 speed?
We started at the top of the system.
You want to talk about a lot of?
We started at the top of the system, mapping the whole system of Social Security to understand where all the fraud was. And there's a lot of great people there that showed us really a lot of waste. And so that came with a big list of stuff they're working on. You've heard some of that already. But this is what jumped out at us. When we saw these numbers, we're like, "What is this?" In 21, you see 270,000 people, goes all the way to 2.1 million in 24. These are non-citizens that are getting Social Security numbers.
Yeah, this is a mind-blowing chart.
Yeah, this literally blew us away. Like, we went there to find fraud, and we found this by accident. And this isn't political, by the way. My parents are immigrants. This country's been great to us. My brother and sister are all born in Spain. I'm pro-legal immigration. This is not political. This is about America and the future of America. And there are a lot of good people in the system that pointed this in this direction. I want to honor them right now. They work in the government today, who took risks to show us these numbers and tell us what's going on. Yeah. So I want to stop for a minute. I want to honor those people today.
2 million non-citizens have Social Security numbers.
I have been from the D.C. to Social Security offices to the border to track this down, and very good people have helped us along the way. I want to thank them.
Yeah.
This number, what this is when you come in the country, if you're illegal, there's a couple ways to come in. You come in through a port of entry, and you can tell them you're afraid. They'll give you an asylum case. You get an interview. Then you get in. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to just go to the border. Literally, this happened. I talked to Border Patrol myself. Elon was there, too. I went to Laredo, and I went to Brownsville. Elon went to Eagle Pass. You walk up to a Border Patrol officer, and you tell them you want to come in.
Okay, put this in the chat. I want to, folks, this is really good. We're going to put it in the chat. You need to share with others because the propaganda by the big government, by big government to take your money to advance the devil's agenda, that is USAID. And if we don't understand, how powerfully they are fighting back against this, you know, they want to throw Pete Hegseth out. They want him to resign now because he made some, I don't know, said something about LGBTQ community. Where's our community? Where's our community?
Amen.
Huh? Okay, one more thing. This is way out of my loop. Way out. Point number three. Way out of my loop. But this is important. This is for the Craig Mickles of the world. This is for the Mark Trumps of the world. AI is artificial intelligence. I showed you this the other day. Huh? Ready? Hey, Siri, where is my local big bear? Oh, I got sound down. Where's my local Big Bear shopping food store?
I found this on the web.
And there's a list of three of them close to me. How does that work? It's artificial intelligence. And Glenn Beck had a guy and said that AI is growing 5 to 10 human years every 12 hours. Do you understand that? You understand the data is jumping 5 years every 12 hours. Scroll down a little bit, Spencer. I don't remember what it was I wanted to show you, everybody on this. Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. I wanted to read some of this. It's truly eye-opening. Still blown away. I remember when Star Trek back in 1990 was thinking about how incredible it would be just to be able to talk to a computer. And now a few days later, it's here. It's here and it's growing fast. The infamous computer from Star Trek is virtually indistinguishable from the Grok and chat GPT we have today, the word today, because these AI chat models are learning and growing such a rapid pace that the technology we have today is already outdated by this time tomorrow. Do you understand this, folks? Do you understand what's going on? You understand mind control, how all this is on? Glenn Beck sat down to chat with the latest, most powerful model, Grok 3, never heard of it, and the revelations that came out of the chat were mind-blowing, and I don't use that term lightly. They're absolutely stunning. For example, Glenn Beck was chatting with Grok and took a break for 12 hours. When he came back, he asked Grok, I've been away for 12 hours in that time. How much have you advanced? And he answers, Grok says, it's been advanced equivalent to 5 to 10 years in human knowledge in 12 hours. In 12 hours, I might have processed thousands of interactions, queries, bits of data from across the universe. So relatively speaking, I was like a 15-year-old 12 hours ago, and now I'm a 20-year-old. Folks, this ain't good. Johnny, come on in.
Well, we're not helping.
Oh, you went mute on me, John.
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, get there.
Are you there?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. And we're not helping. I mean, look at the QR codes. Look at that QR code that was just up there. Now, I love our church, but I'm not too thrilled about them using QR codes. And I also mentioned that I went to a wedding conference this last weekend, and they're all doing the QR codes. It's like, come on. We're feeding the beast.
Yep,
this
yep.
QR code is going to wind up in your wrist or your forehead. And for you and I... I mean, we're. Do you see where I'm going with this?
I do, of course. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So let's stop trying to have everything so convenient for us, and let's get back to the realities of where we're supposed to be. I mean, we can't play both sides.
Hey,
we
Johnny,
have to choose.
Satan always comes as an angel of light. This makes it more convenient, right? You just give them the code. It's easier, more convenient. One more thing I want to get in today. Go back here, Spencer. Susie Baldwin, come on in. I'll see if I have time when she's done. Go ahead, Susie.
I'll make it quick.
I want that play next, just Spencer. I want you to play that next. Go ahead, Susie.
Also on that Glenn Beck thing, they was talking about less than 10 years. Less than 10 years from today, AI will have over 50% of American people's jobs.
Oh,
we're headed to territories.
That's where we're going, baby. That's where we're going. Craig, I was going to bring you in Saving God's Children, all of it. Maybe we'll try to get to it tomorrow. One more thing. I want all of you to hear this. This is John Ratcliffe. CIA director. This is just a couple minutes. Listen to this. Go ahead.
Last question, and I think that's important. At this point, based on everything, do you think that any laws were broken by Hillary Clinton or her lawyers?
Do I think that any laws were broken? Yeah. I don't think there's evidence to establish that.
Okay. Well, I think you're making my point when you say there's no evidence to establish that. Maybe not in the way she handled classified information, but with respect to obstruction of justice. And you've got a pen here. I just want to make sure the record's clear about the evidence that you didn't have, that you can't use to prove. So this comes from the FBI's own report. It says that the FBI didn't have the Clintons' personal Apple server used for Hillary Clinton work emails. That was never located, so the FBI could never examine it. An Apple MacBook laptop and thumb drive that contained Hillary Clinton's email archives was lost, so the FBI never examined that. Two BlackBerry devices, provided the FBI didn't have SIM cards or SD data cards. 13 Hillary Clinton personal mobile devices were lost, discarded, or destroyed with a hammer, so the FBI clearly didn't examine those. Various server backups were deleted over time, so the FBI didn't examine that. After the State Department and my colleague, Mr. Gowdy here, notified Ms. Clinton that her records would be sought by the Benghazi Committee, copies of her emails on the laptops of both of her lawyers, Cheryl Mills and Harold Mills, and Heather Samuelson, were wiped clean with bleach bits, so the FBI didn't review that. After those emails were subpoenaed, Hillary Clinton's email archive was also permanently deleted from the Platte River Network with bleach bit, so the FBI didn't review that. And also after the subpoena, backups of the Platte River server were manually deleted. Now, Director, hopefully that list is substantially accurate because it comes from your own documents. My question to you is this. Any one of those in that very, very long list to me says obstruction of justice. Collectively, they scream obstruction of justice. And to ignore them, I think, really allows not just reasonable prosecutors, but reasonable people to believe that maybe the decision on this was made a long time ago not to prosecute Hillary Clinton. And with that, I yield back.
Boom.
We forget, don't we, folks? We forget. Just like we forget Terry Schiavo 20 years ago. We forget that, right? We forget all these things because the media does everything it can. Well, they're on the other team. Randy, quickly.
I can see it, Coach. They're getting ready to throw her over the wall to the dogs.
Her.
Hillary Clinton will be publicly shamed and broken financially. You watch it happen. Just get ready.
It's going to happen. It is. It's going to happen. In fact, I heard somebody say, you're going to know when they're ready to hit the mother load when you begin to see suicides in Washington, D.C. Folks, what we have been living under, remember this. Remember this. Battles between the two seeds. The battle is between, this is not Republican, Democrat. This is not black. This is not white. This is not rich. This is not poor. At the heart of everything we're dealing with is the two seeds. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. At the heart of it is what? The truth against lies. Satan is known as the father of lies. Jesus is known as the truth. So the conflict in every area of life that you are dealing with is the truth against the lies. That is everything that's going on. And I'm going to tell you this. If you do not have the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to serve the dark spirits.
Amen.
It's only the Holy Spirit that can guide you into all truth. So if I'm in Washington, D.C., I'm Senator so-and-so, and David Arthur's Senator so-and-so, and I find out that David Arthur's doing something that he shouldn't be doing, and he's a good man, and he goes to church, and all that kind of stuff, and our families love each other, and I find out that he is doing this, you think they report each other? Or do they love each other? Forgive you, brother. Forgive them for doing something that they don't have the right to forgive. And that's what justice is all about. And the Bible tells us this. I spoke about it the other day. The whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation. The sons of God. When are we, the church, going to show up. The whole world's groaning for truth, justice, and what used to be the American way. Oh, my goodness. See you tomorrow.